Good morning, everyone. I know a lot of you had a lot of weather problems this year, so hopefully we can solve some of these problems right now. So today I want to give you the February, spring, and summer outlook for 2012. February is going to end up being just pretty nice like the rest of the winter's been, with the possible exception of that Nebraska-Kansas area right now. I'm going to go back and look at the January forecast that we made for Cattle Facts and just kind of show you how we led into that forecast over the last 4 months to show one of the most record-breaking warm Januaries on record. I'm going to talk about this weakening La Nina and, more importantly, a very strong probability that we're going to go into El Nino this year. Kind of do a quick look at the rest of the world in terms of crops and then finally make the forecast. The upper left map shows what temperatures were in the United States this past January. But bottom right-hand side shows precipitation across the country. On the smaller maps that you see in the bottom left-hand corner, those maps are the temperature forecasts made all the way back in October, November, and December for what January is going to look like. So I think you can see we've been very consistent that we were going to have a warm January. We have red on those maps basically all the way across. Likewise, in terms of precipitation, we've been seeing the high probability of rainfall increasing from the Ohio Valley back down towards Texas, though unfortunately the drought in the panhandle back into New Mexico, Arizona continues. And then finally up in the Pacific Northwest, we've gotten a little moisture in there, but drought is a major concern, and in fact, as we go towards El Nino, drought becomes very critical in the northwestern quarter of the country. So let's look at La Nina and the possibilities of El Nino developing very rapidly. These three maps show water temperatures across the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic, starting with last September in the upper map. And you can see a big warm water pool there in the central Pacific on the left-hand side of that map. A lot of cold water along the equator. Finally, by the end of December, the map in the upper right, we had a lot of cold water along the equator. That was the peak of La Nina. But if we look down at the bottom map now, things have really started to warm up again along the coast of South America and Mexico. So this is one of the first hints that El Nino is getting ready to come back. NOAA, after the big 1982 El Nino, put in an array of buoys along the equator to really monitor what was going on, because we knew that El Ninos actually form as a great big wave in the ocean that comes back from Southeast Asia and moves eastward across the equator towards South America. This is a series of charts that shows that buoy information. The chart on the left indicates an El Nino event which occurred way back there in February 2010. If you look, you can see a great big bulge of warm water kind of halfway across the Pacific. The bottom graphic shows the anomaly in the ocean. You can see a great big yellow warm water anomaly then in the central Pacific getting ready in February 2010 to move towards South America and cause a pretty moderate El Nino event. Last year at this time, we had another big warm water pool starting to form in the western Pacific, that middle graph. You can see the yellow. And currently, right now, we still have a great big warm water pool in the western Pacific. But it's contrasted, though, with some cold water pool just to the east. And so we actually have a very strong temperature gradient across the Pacific, and we know strong temperature gradients typically precede the development of an El Nino. If we look at the forecast being put out by a number of agencies, we have a real strong hint now that El Nino is quite likely. The graph, the upper graph on the left, is the forecast from NOAA, and they're indicating that sometime by the end of the summer, water temperatures are probably going to climb to about 5/10 of a degree, if not 7/10 of a degree above normal. This forecast from NOAA is done spinning the model about 22 different times. That's why you're seeing all the lines on the graph. But the bottom line is the average of them all says it's going to warm up. More importantly is the graph in the upper right. That's the forecast from the European community. Anyone who watches a lot of weather channel type stuff as well as local weather, you'll often hear about the European model. It's actually forecasting a very strong, rapid rise of temperatures, almost to 1 degree above normal come early summer. So there's a very strong probability of El Nino based on the ECMWF. Finally, the bottom graphic is one from the Australian Met Service. They're not indicating any possibility of El Nino, but unfortunately this model has looked like this for about 3 years straight, so we're kind of discounting what's going to happen there. So the bottom line is numerical models from both the United States and Europe are indicating warming. Europe is indicating the most warming. This is actually the forecast from our analog system of what water temperatures are likely to be in January 2012. And if you look down there along the equator, just off the coast of South America, you can see warming is present, water temperatures reaching about 0.8 of a degree to 1.2 degrees above normal are likely then come July 2012. So we're pretty confident that this El Nino event has already started. It's part of the reason we're seeing the moisture there in eastern Texas. And as this thing then keeps on rolling forward, it's going to have a real strong impact on our weather come the spring and summer. So let's look at world crop conditions right now that have still kind of been reeling under the effects of La Nina, though. This is an outgoing long-wave radiation chart for the entire world. It shows the last 30 days. The yellows and reds indicate where there's drought. The blues indicate where there's excess precipitation. And if you look towards Australia, there's a lot of blue down there and kind of in the middle portion of the graph, lower portion of the graph. They've had some good rains in Western Australia, but actually Northern Australia, where normally it should be quite wet at this time of year, has been dry. And that's a first hint of El Nino is starting to develop. If you look over there towards South America on the right-hand side of the map, you can see a lot of dryness in Argentina. That drought in that area has been impacting then especially corn prices around the world because of this drought. On the other hand, the forecasts are that the next 2 weeks are really going to get wet in Argentina, and this is another indication that we're headed towards El Nino around the world. If we look at crop vegetation indices this year compared to last year, blues indicate excessively green areas, yellows indicate areas under stress. I think you can see that Australia is much, much drier than it was last year. In fact, they had one of the wettest years on record a year ago. So now as we go towards El Nino, we know that Australia tends to dry up, and it looks like Australia's already started acting like an El Nino year. Here's the drought for Argentina. The reds indicate severe drought conditions through a lot of the corn area as well as the bean areas of Argentina. Compared to last year, it was considerably wetter. The graph on the right, you have a lot more greens. But as we go towards El Nino, then, the winter wheat areas of Argentina are likely to get quite wet as we go towards May, June, July, and August. So things should improve down there. And in fact, even in the short term, as I indicated before, it looks like the next 2 weeks are going to be pretty wet. That's going to save the beans in Argentina, probably not the corn. We look at the United States here. The upper graph shows current crop conditions in the United States or vegetation index versus last year. And we are actually starting to see some greening up taking place through Oklahoma and Texas, indicating then that the severe drought conditions that we had, which ended started to end, I shouldn't say they've ended, but started to end in October, there's been a pretty important impact then on the vegetation. We're seeing green all the way from northeast Texas into a lot of the wheat area of Kansas. If we look at the precipitation over the last 30 and 90 days, you can see then this region, which has started to receive precip, strongly associated with subtropical jet being stronger than normal, and that's very definitely tied to this development of El Nino in 2012. Okay, let's go ahead and look at the forecast for the February, spring, and summer periods. The most important thing is if you look on this map, the area just off of South America now is starting to warm up. We still have residual La Nina conditions in the Central Pacific, but they're dying very quickly. So as we go into the spring and summer, it's the development of El Nino that's going to be the important feature impacting our weather. The system I've been using now for almost 15 years is an analog system in which we go back and look at 60 years' worth of data. We do what's called a cluster analysis. It's kind of a DNA typing of about 14 different climate variables, tracks them, tries to figure out what years are closest to 2012. And this segment of that arena diagram that shows the relationship with years, 2012 there, when you look at the graph, is about in the, right below where it says for El Nino. You can see a number of years there that ended up being El Nino years: 1972, 1965, 1976, 1953, 1951, 2008, and also 1982. So we're starting to cluster with years that El Nino strongly developed come the spring. The forecast for February shows that we're going to have a continuation of very, very warm temperatures based on this analog forecast throughout the United States, a little cooling along the Canadian border region. More importantly, though, we're seeing precipitation now starting to increase through a large portion of the Midwest. It's been pretty dry through parts of the Dakotas, Minnesota. And this storm that we have coming right now is already going to contribute then to this increased precipitation. Rainfall, normal to slightly above normal, should continue through Texas, but unfortunately the drought through New Mexico, the Panhandle region in the southeast, is going to continue through the month of February. We get into the spring analog forecast with developing El Nino. We're going to have a high pressure develop off the west coast of the United States. We're going to start seeing a polar jet further south than normal into the United States. In other words, we're going to have a pretty good storm track across the U.S. So when we look at the forecast for temperature and precipitation for this upcoming spring, we see a lot of cool, wet conditions through the Midwest. Now, it's been relatively warm and dry up there. There's been newspaper articles saying how this year is 180 degrees opposite last year. The problem is it looks like we're going to have a repeat then of cool conditions, late planting, and maybe some soil moisture problems through the northern plains. If you go a little further south, the drought persists through the spring in Arizona, New Mexico, Panhandle region, but that eastern half of Texas keeps on picking up on moisture. In the western United States, they've had a very dry start to the winter season, and it looks like, at least for California, it's going to remain dry through the spring. And the only possibility is that we may see a wetter than normal April. We finally get into the summer forecast. The high pressure that was along the west coast looks like it's kind of inch inland. The trough that was in the spring across the northern plains is going to continue to move slightly eastward and drop south through the Great Lakes. This is a pattern that brings us a very cool, wet summer through a large portion of the United States. Right now, there's a lot of good analogy between this developing El Nino and the summers of 2004 and also the summer of 2009. And both of those summers were quite cool and wet. There was some delay in planting associated with those years. And then with the cooler and wetter conditions, there's probably going to be some problem with the corn being able not to mature like it really should. Unfortunately, El Nino doesn't tend to end drought in Texas in the summer. And so if you notice here on the forecast, it still remains dry along the Gulf Coast through South Texas up into New Mexico, Arizona, and Southern California. The likelihood that this area is going to stay dry, though, into the fall and winter is really not very strong, because we know that El Nino actually comes in with a vengeance come the fall throughout Texas. So I think we're going to finally see relief through a large portion of the United States with good moisture with this El Nino event as we go to the fall and winter. But the drought, at least, is going to persist in southern portions of Texas, West Texas. On the other hand, as we go further north, this is a really good forecast for grazing conditions through the plains. And as I said before, the good moisture there that you're seeing is going to be good for the crop, but on the other hand, the cooler than normal temperatures could really be a challenge, especially for the corn. So that concludes then the outlook for this 2012 for the United States. Thank you very much.